Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, no matter where in the world you might be. It's the Arsenal versus Manchester United post-game show. We didn't win, but we didn't lose. We get 4 points off the Red Devils. Okay. Hello, everybody. Thanks, everyone, again, for joining us for the pre-game show. That was a lot of fun. And here we are, post-game. PG's in the house. Welcome, PG.
Woo, woo. I think that's going to be mine now.
Woo, woo. Oh, we're not doing the groove. The woo, woo. Okay, I think we still need to work on that a little bit.
We'll come up with something. It's not as good as Kev's.
And also, yes. LL Cool James in the house. Now, I need a rap for you. Well, I don't know what that's going to be, but I'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah. I was gonna say, don't make me do it.
I think your hair is longer than mine, James.
Yeah, it has been for a while.
And it's going to get longer.
I'm not trusting family members with it.
No, nor am I. Yeah.
Every single time I see James, I just want to burst out Meatloaf, you know, classic song. Just before we get started, don't forget our new sponsor, Football Prizes. Go to footballprizes.co.uk where you can win yourself some awesome Arsenal merchandise. They've got some amazing things going and some great auctions coming up. This week on Friday is a really special one. It's the 1971 double winner shirt. You can put yourself in the hat.
Wow.
Tickets cost limited, and they do it really well because they only give away 99 tickets. So you've got a really good chance of winning. And then we're also going to give away a free ticket on the show this week that will put your name into the hat to win that. It's the 50th anniversary of the 71 double winners. So you're going to want to make sure you don't miss out on that. Our good friends at Football Prizes, welcome to the Highbury Squad family. We're happy to be associated with you. PG, let's get stuck into this. We usually just like to go player by player and go ratings. Do you want to start doing that?
Yeah, I think we should, actually.
Do you want to do a little summary first? I'll do a little summary.
I know you and Kev went for the win. I went for a 2-2 draw. I'm not upset. We missed Tierney, Saka and Aubameyang. To be honest, if they were playing, I think we missed Saka more than anything, his creativity. But you know what? It's a clean sheet. We've taken 4 points off them this season. They're second in the league. And I do think that we really, really deserve that draw. I don't know. Does anyone else agree or not?
I thought we deserved to win this game, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't deserve to lose it.
No, absolutely. Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to let James go. Go on, James. What's your quick summary before we get stuck into nuts and bolts when we do the player ratings?
Yeah, I'm happy with it. Obviously, you know, you want the win. But if you said to me before the game you'd get a draw, considering all three... Oh, hello.
No, I'm done.
It's Amanda putting on her YouTube so she can start chatting with everyone. It's the norm.
Echo. It's the James Echo. I was happy with it. With those three players out, if you said that you get at least a draw, I'd have took it. When you closely look at things, I think they had the better chance with Cavani. We obviously had that free kick. But other than that, I didn't think either team really went for the win. It shows that both these clubs are not the forces that we once were or the forces that people are comparing us to now being. If you look at it, I think Man United, you know, their fans were convinced they'd won the title the other week, a bit like all the other clubs that had won the title and have all
like
of a sudden
Spurs
dropped
in
off.
December, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And Chelsea, you know, Chelsea won it already, didn't they? And then Liverpool won it already and they've dropped off. So... yeah, no, you said quick summary. I feel like I'm going and going and going.
No, we're going to do it because we actually get stuck into more of the action when we start going on the play-by-play for the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be one of those games where we look back and we kick ourselves in the teeth because we had a few chances. I thought that our defence handled Cavani brilliantly. Can I just first say, David Luiz and Rob Holding.
Right, let's go to
well
the players.
Done. Okay, let's do it. All right, let's start with Leno. Their one shot on goal that was a real super threat. Amanda, another super save from our guy.
Okay, I would just like to rant quickly about Sky, their punditry. And hello, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You Mike's wanted to join us didn't
he
you?
He was on our pre-game show, so he's squeezing into the
he's
post-game.
He's promised me, rankings. Sophie, that he's
he hasn't
sober.
Been drinking.
Yeah, that. If he's not, he's off. Yellow card.
No, that was just a mirage.
Right, this is Michael from the Gooners pod, who was on pre-game and a friend of ours. So we're just going, I'm just doing a rant about Sky, not that you two watch it, but me and James do. And then we're going to go on to the
let me get the comment up for you, PG, because someone, two people have already pointed it out. So okay, go on.
So I love Gary Neville as a pundit, hated him as a player. I rate him. He's one of my favourite, but not when he's talking about Man United. Not, and not against us. For God's sake, Martin Tyler. And you would think that United were like Barcelona. You would think that they were playing some fourth division team, because the coverage in Sky going into the first half, second half, all United. Have Roy Keane on there and Jamie Carragher. Can you not have like Martin Keown or something? It's so biased with Keane, and then we've got to listen to Neville. Honestly, it was so honest. I know you two don't watch it. James, do you agree with me?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
When, you know, the other week when we played Newcastle, it was Monday Night Football, wasn't it? You know how big of a deal they make it and everything.
Yeah.
Half of that Monday Night Football was about Man United Liverpool.
Yep.
It was a 0-0 the day before.
I remember that.
Excuse me, can I get some Arsenal stuff here in a minute?
What James is talking about, Soph and Mike, they do this Monday Night Football, right? It's great. Yep. It's a really good program. Not when United are involved. Any other team, it's really interesting. But the problem is, it was our game and they did this half an hour on Liverpool Man United.
It was nearly an hour and a bit.
Yeah.
You know what, PG? You know what, guys? We have Lee Dixon today. Lee Dixon was doing the commentary, and you would never know that he's the third or fourth highest appearance player for Arsenal in their history. And you would even know it, babe.
No,
Lee has told us that if anything, he maybe overcompensates. He doesn't do it on purpose.
Goes the other way.
But, you know, when you have an ex-Arsenal player, Alan Smith does the same thing. Lee Dixon does the same thing. They both told us that, you know, look, they try so hard to be neutral that sometimes you can actually come off as a little tough. I don't know why that doesn't exist when it comes to Liverpool.
Let me tell you what Roy Keane did, okay? And I think he's funny. He's definitely box office Roy Keane. He's hilarious. But not when it's Man United, Arsenal. Because he did this. He literally dismissed us, didn't he? So smug. And everyone was moaning about it at halftime.
Do I need to trap Lee on Tuesday night when he comes on our podcast?
I think you should ask him. Definitely.
Just say to him that you was on with us and Amanda went mad about how biased it is. And to be honest, when it's anyone Arsenal, anyone, I don't feel like that. They talk quite fairly. And if anything, they slag us off a little bit. Roy Keane went like this. Well, if they don't win it here, of course, it's 3 points lost. I don't even think we've played that badly, but let's start with Leno.
I agree with Sean here. Arlo White is much more like up United's bum. And I love Arlo. I've been listening to him since he was commentating on the Sounders here as well.
Andy, my podcast wife, has gotten into like multiple social media tiffs with, and I don't mean tiff, our tiff, but like tiffs with Arlo, because his excitement level when either Leicester or Tottenham score, and he's like, yeah, and Arsenal scored a goal. And when it's Tottenham, it's the end of the world.
It's a miracle because it's Harry Kane and all that type of stuff. Okay.
Right.
Well, look, and I'll tell you something else he said about Harry Kane and Lacazette. He accused Lacazette of doing what Harry Kane did.
And he did
nothing like it. Yeah. And it was I thought to myself, do you know what? Harry Kane, everyone knows he does it. Yeah, Lacazette does one thing and he didn't even do the same thing. Oh, anyway, listen, I'm going to rant. So let's start with Leno.
I saw a lot of people, PG, mentioning that as well, to be honest with you. So
I saw it. I asked my son and his friend. I saw the corner of it, like out of my corner of my eye. I'm like, did he just do what Kane normally does? Because if he does, I at least want to be able to get ready for the backlash.
It wasn't, though.
It's not
Lacazette's style to do that, to be honest with you.
And if he did, it was probably accidental. Anyway, let's start with Leno. Sorry. Right. Leno for me. Okay. And this is another thing. They did not rave about that save either, which pissed me off, because that was a bloody world-class save, what he did. And I love him. And for me, he gets a 7.5 out of 8. Sorry. I will calm down. I'm calming. He'll get a 7.5 tonight. He's keeping our clean sheets. End of with the lovely, with that lovely save. Oh, I love him. He's getting better and better. So I'm giving him 7.5.
I'll do the same. I'll give him a 7.5. It was a great save, and it was a moment that could have turned the game. And really, they had hardly any chances. And the thing is that a goalkeeper who's on his toes and alert saves that. And he did a great job, James.
Yeah, 7. He gets a 7 from me. When you don't have to talk about him, you know he's had a good game. So I don't have to whinge about him. I don't have to say anything about his distribution being too slow or anything. Yeah, no, he was superb. And he has been for the last couple of weeks.
Have you guys noticed too, though, he distributes the ball a little bit faster these days as well?
Yeah, he does now.
Well, you say that, Soph, but Carl was moaning that he didn't today, weirdly. And I said there wasn't anyone for him to distribute it to be honest.
Because Saka moves so quickly, a lot of the time he gets it out to him. And also, for some reason today, our midfield slowed down, but we'll get to that. Mike, what's your rating?
Sorry.
At least Carl was moaning. I mean, that's a good start. 8.74 for Leno today, because I mean, not only the fact that he basically won the game for us by stopping that shot, but you know, in that moment where when Gabby basically came in and saved the day by putting him off of shooting it. Leno was doing the right stuff at that moment. I mean, he basically advanced to the point where he snuffed it out. And I mean, Leno might be low key, as my kids say, our player of the season at this point.
He's having a real good one.
The one consistent point, and you know, I love Emi Martinez, but can we be done with this already?
Yeah,
I think most sensible fans are. Right, let's move on. Let's go to Holdinho.
Do you know what? I want to say something about Holding, yeah? Do you know what I love about him? There's no, like, histrionics with him. There's no drama. There's no Mustafi-esque. This is what I'm trying to compare it to, where he blames his teammates. He gets on with his job. He just gets on with the job. And I'm going to give Holding 7.5 tonight, actually, because I really, really start... I think he's starting to bed in. I'm starting to have confidence in him, and that's 7.5.
You never see him doing this.
No. Michael, wait your turn. God, you have to control him, Soph.
Well, you can control him. You're in the room as well. You invited him. You let him in. You let him in on the second one. He did tell me I might be a bit tipsy when I come on for the second. But you know what? There's 235 plus fans that probably will love it because they've been having a tipple or two as well. And here's what some of our listeners are saying. Holding consistent. Agree with PG. 8.7. For me, as well as David Luiz, and we'll get on to that. But James, we were going back and forth in DMing, and I said Holding was as good as Luiz. You called Luiz as man of the match before the match. What's your rating for James? For Holding, James.
For James.
me so far, I'm going to give myself a solid 6. I think I've done okay. I haven't done anything too bad. So, yeah, I'm going to give myself a 6. No, Rob Holding for me gets a 9. People need to put more respect on Rob Holding's name. There is too much of this. Yep. Oh, he doesn't pass. Oh, he's passing. I don't want a centre-back to pass. I was born in 1991. My centre-backs kept clean sheets, won headers, sometimes scored goals. They didn't do all the fancy-pantsy stuff. We didn't have that where I come from. Rob Holding got a 9. And when he did pass, for all you people that say he can't pass, look at the ball to Lacazette that we nearly scored from the free kick.
Yeah.
Yep. Sensational. That's a centre back who can't pass, by the way, according to all these super duper Twitter experts.
But yeah, do you know what, James? He's coming up quite, you know, in the background, isn't he? And he's starting to earn those 8s and 9s. I agree with you.
Yeah. Seven clearances in the first half, more than the whole United team got on his own. He in the air, he was winning everything. Everything.
He's better than Harry Maguire. I'm not going to be afraid to say that out loud.
I'm better than Harry Maguire.
Yeah, you are better than Harry Maguire. I'll share that video because when I met Arsene Wenger in LA, we talked about Rob Holding and I said to him, you seem to have found a gem and he seems to be one of maybe the best buyers of the window. And Wenger said to me, he goes, well, you should be part of my scouting team. And I'm like, sure, fine, I'll take that job. He never offered it to me in the end. But the truth is that he's totally been disrespected. And I think a lot of that has to do with sometimes being an English player in certain positions. I don't know why. Like if you're Mason Mount, you're getting lauded. But if you're Rob Holding, you're not getting respected. Why? He's as good as many, right?
Because,
right?
Because
it's the start-stop stuff that Holding struggled with. But any time in his entire career that he's gotten five games on the trot.
He was injured badly at one point, wasn't he, you guys, to be fair to him?
Well, but anytime he's gotten a regular run of multiple games, maybe four or five in a row or more, he's been exceptional. And he's had injuries to recover from. 8.5 for that guy.
8.5. What's yours, Soph?
I'm going to give him an 8. Okay, let's move on. So another player that has endeared himself when he plays against Manchester United, and I'm going to let James start with this one because he called it before the game. Hello. Yeah. Who has better hair, David Luiz or James?
David Luiz. I can't. If I permed mine, I might have a chance.
I want that hair.
And no. That smile. That's a pretty good smile.
Yeah, no, apart from, his silly free kick that he did in the second half. He got a 10 for me, 10 for David Luiz. He was absolutely wow. Brilliant. He's one of them guys. It's a bit like Rob Holding.
Hold on, James. A 10.
Yeah, 10, solid. Man the match.
You almost have to score or get an assist to be a 10.
Jennifer Lopez, two nights ago show, you thinking about Jennifer Lopez giving a 10? I'm not sure.
Nah, he's a 10. That's a 10. He was the best man on the pitch for both teams.
Yeah. So, listen, when you have Cavani playing up front for United, who's been doing some damage to some teams, the fact that we kept him in our pocket the whole game and he really didn't get a sniff, it says a lot about the performance. Mike, what's your rating quickly? Just give us a number.
8.6.
All right. PG?
Well, I'm going for a 9, not a 10. But I think he was magnificent, and I loved what he did when he did his little thing to the Man United players. I'm assuming it was to one of them. Because the thing is about David Luiz, he's so bizarre. He can be absolutely atrocious or he can be absolutely brilliant. And you just never know. He reminds me in a way, and I keep saying this, of Bruce Grobbelaar. If anyone remembers Bruce Grobbelaar for Liverpool, he used to come running out and cause chaos or be one of the best goalkeepers you've ever seen. Yeah. And Louise, you just don't know what you're going to get.
It's true.
You don't. But I'm giving him a 9.
Okay, cool. Chase, who took the jam out of your donut, babe? What's going on? What's the fucking shit show? The performance? We're garbage. They're garbage. Let us know. Just make it clear because we like
got to be one of you lot.
All right.
Says garbage. We say rubbish. So yeah, I'm assuming garbage. It's from
all right, Chase. Take it easy, babe. Just take it easy. Yeah. No one's getting carried away here. We drew against Man United. They're second in the league. They've been on a run. Everyone's lauded them. Rashford, Greenwood, Cavani, Linford, Fernandes. Yeah. Everyone's been raving about them.
Linford, Podford.
Have a quote from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Would you like me to read it?
I would like you to read it, PG, of course.
Okay.
You're not going to do a voice, are you?
No, I can't speak Norwegian.
I can say Udegaard. Don't do the impression.
Thought Man United had the better chances to win the points. 2 points lost. Thought they were the better side. Good performance, but Man United didn't take their chances. Except for lack of hitting the bar, Arsenal didn't really threaten.
I don't agree
with that, and I'm not biased at all.
What would you expect him to say? What do you expect him to say?
Rose-coloured glasses right there, PG.
Right, so
let's go on to our boy. We did Holding. Let's do Cedric.
Oh, I love my Cedric.
Oh, now it's my Cedric, is
I
it?
I love my Cedric.
Here he is. Look how happy he is in his Arsenal shirt.
Do you know what? I love his energy and his passion. We need passionate players. We can't have these players that are not passionate, and I love him. I'd give him an 8 tonight, actually. I thought he did really well. I really like Cedric James. I do. And I think that he's definitely one for the future. I'm pleased we've got him. I really am. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but he's getting an 8 for me tonight.
He didn't have as good a game. I thought his crossing was in the chances that he did. He should have released the ball earlier today. It was a little bit slow all the way around, but I think we were really cautious about being caught on the counter today. Yeah. So I think that's why there was that caution. And that free kick that he took, I actually thought that was a moment for Willian to take that free kick, believe it or not. And I don't think Cedric should have taken that. James, what do you think?
7. I didn't think he did anything glaringly bad. He did give the ball away a lot, like someone mentioned. But he, for someone that's playing out of his preferred position, I know he sometimes played the left as well. Mm. I thought he was okay. You know, we do miss Kieran Tierney. Kieran Tierney's next level. You know, that guy's different. He's different gravy. So, you know, to fill in and to do a job, yeah, it was fine. It's I can't complain. I mean, he did, he, like someone put as well, he did get booked quite early, and then to keep it calm and everything else.
Yeah,
he was in a mismatch to begin with. You know, he had Pogba there. That he was always going to lose that battle against Pogba in terms of aerial balls and everything else, because look at the size difference. But no, he was fine. He didn't do anything brilliant, but he didn't do anything overly bad. So, yeah, just 7.
Okay, good. And Jakiri, we're not getting carried away, dude. We're just giving ratings. Everyone take a chill pill. Relax.
What's going on tonight?
What is going on tonight?
This is toxic positivity, relax. And people are rebelling against it at this point.
Why can't they Listen, when you draw 0-0 against Man United, they haven't beaten us in the league since 2017, I don't think now. James,
no, it's 6 games on the trot. Right,
can I give you a stat? Can I give you a stat about Man United?
We love stats, Scorm.
Man United against the big six this season in the Premier League. They haven't won one.
Exactly.
So they lost 6-1 to Tottenham, 0-0 Chelsea, 0-1 to us. Draw against City, 0-0. 0-0 against Liverpool, 0-0 today. So
And 1-2 against Sheffield United. So, I mean,
yeah. All right, cool. Let's move on, you guys, because here's one that I wish I could have raved about today, but I think it's his poorest performance.
7 for Cedric, by the way.
Thomas Partey, he did not have a good game today. He gave the ball away cheaply in the first half a lot, PG. It wasn't his best. I think, I don't know if it's the pace of the game. Listen, so, you take your Gooner podcast calls.
All mobiles off, Michael.
Look, if I could do it during an Unai Emery press conference.
We're not Unai Emery. Amanda and I are a lot tougher than Unai. If we were managers at the time, maybe we would have
got Champions League. For me, Partey. Yes.
I'm not sweating as much as I was at that moment.
I kept saying to Carl that Partey has been terrible, and he was arguing me, but I still stand by that. I can't give him any more than a 5, I'm afraid. He did a couple of good passes. I didn't hear his name the whole game, and he just gave the ball away. There's something not right, as in fitness, or I don't know. But this is the worst I've seen him. I mean, he's been brilliant up to then. Every time I've seen him, I feel really bad even saying he gets a 5. But I'm going on today's game. He gets a 5 from me.
Yes, and I will come back to Bellerin. You're right, Clock Orange. I did miss him. We'll come back to Bellerin in just a minute. James, it wasn't his best game. We have to be honest. We know his class, but, you know, these things are going to happen, especially when you're coming off an injury and, you know, you're playing in a different league that maybe has a little bit more intensity.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's fully fit.
And, that's what I think.
Yeah, he just had a bad one. I'd give him a 5. He had that great run where he just was sprinting through the middle of all
and
of them.
And shot,
and then the shot just...
Should have passed it to Pepe, though, there.
Yeah, I was about to say, he should have slid Pepe in. But there was a few of them throughout the game where we had a few where we should have slid people in. But no, the run was great and everything else. That was probably the best moment of the game for him. But yeah, just 5. It was.
Mike, what's your rating for Partey?
It's a 5. I mean, he had a shocker, but so has Gabriel recently. So have everyone else. I mean, great players don't produce a 9 every single week. And the fact that the rest of the squad picked him up, the fact that we didn't concede to a Manchester United team that's been scoring, you know, despite Partey's weaknesses, is what the game is all about.
He won't
have that performance again on Tuesday or next Saturday. He won't.
I agree with that. And also everyone needs to remember, which is why we're not getting carried away with it. But I don't know if you guys have seen those who say, oh, we couldn't beat a poor Man United team. The table doesn't lie. They're second from top and their away form has been the best in the Premier League over almost a year. So just relax, because we stopped them from getting a win away from home. And that's where their strength has been this season. Okay, let's bounce back, PG, because we missed Bellerin. See, this is where I would give Maitland-Niles a shot. I'm sorry. You and I have been on that train for a while.
Mm.
He wasn't great again today. He wasn't awful, but he wasn't great.
He gave the ball away. That was quite dangerous. I just, you know, I feel bad because I always give him a low score, but I'll give him, to me, a 6. He was better than Partey, but that's not saying much at the moment. But I'll give him a 6. I can't say much more.
James, sorry, PG, finish your thought there. I
just think he's a 6. There's not much for me to say. I don't want him in the team, but I hate saying that, if you know what I mean. I don't like saying that about players, but I would either Maitland-Niles or I'd play Cedric over there.
And to be fair, James, you know, it's not like we were under too much threat on his flank. It's not like he was undone too many times, but it's what he did with and without the ball today that I think where I'm rating him on. And a lot of the times his position was off, but the distribution and some of the passing was a little bit poor. What do you think?
Yeah, no, he gets a six for me. I mean, what I would say is he's normally Pepe neglects it. So he has a lot more to do because Pepe doesn't help him out as much. But I thought today Pepe helped him out a lot. I thought Pepe did really well with him on that side. And especially in the first half as well, Martinelli was helping out. I think he did more defensively than offensively, Martinelli. So I know we'll touch on that in a bit. But no,
Bellerin, just
a six. It was just a okay, you know. I think a lot of people are desperate for him to get hooked out. I think he's just one of these players that everybody seems to just take on. But yeah, I mean, you keep talking about Niles. You can't play Ainsley Maitland-Niles in a four. He doesn't work in a back four.
I know he doesn't work in the four, but at the same time, you know, I think that he also deserves a shot, but we'll get onto that a little bit later.
Maitland-Niles should be the first guy that comes off the bench when we take off one of the centre midfielders. Not Elneny, it should be Niles, because Niles is much better there.
I think we all agree with that.
Mike, your score for five. Okay, cool. All right, let's move on back to
I didn't even say anything. You got away with me not saying anything.
Yeah, totally.
I have some Arteta and David Luiz.
Do that before we get to Okay.
So David Luiz on Arsenal Ambitions. You have to be humble because we are far from the first position. We have to take it game by game and try to improve. And then in the end of the season, we're going to see the ambition is fighting for the first position. It has to be there. I never start something in my life without ambition. Until the moment, it's mathematically impossible. We have to try. David Luiz on celebrating blocking Fernandes' free kick. He's one of the best players in the league, taking free kick shots. Bruno is amazing. He can decide in these moments of free kick in his position as a penalty. I was happy because I was focused and I could save the goal on the draw. This is Luiz. It was a great game. Both teams trying to win. I think both teams had opportunities. It was a proper match, but we're frustrated. Frustrated because we love to win. I think we tried our best and that's it. We have to try to improve every single day. We have to be humble every day. To improve. The boss is doing a great job. The young boys are progressing a lot. They are fantastic. We're starting to create a real team and atmosphere. And I agree with that. Yeah. That's why we keep going. If you don't continue with the focus and concentration, things can change. I'm very happy because we've turned a very difficult moment in the season for a positive moment. And I agree with that. And this is what Luiz brings as well.
Leadership. He does bring leadership. No matter
the leadership,
what you say.
Yes. Experience. Yes. You know, I know
and
he is a bit
calamity. Other players. Protecting other players.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what he said about.
I need to apologize to him because, I mean, I was ranting and raving about him being the mole and about him being the...
he's not one of them. No.
Well, I really, really thought kind of him, Sokratis, you know, Willian and others. I mean, I bought into it and it's quite clear that he's not.
Correct. So, he wouldn't be playing with seen Arteta be ruthless, and if he was, he would not be playing in this.
Ozil's gone. Socrates is gone.
Really quick, I need everyone to pay attention right now. You know you're doing a good pod when this happens, but I'd just like to say there's a spelling mistake here. You missed the Y off the end, Seth. You missed the Y off the end.
Seth, why are you watching?
Au revoir, as clock
why
orange
are you
says.
Watching an
Let
Arsenal
Let him have
pod.
It, Gooners. Let him have it.
I've never watched a Tottenham pod in my life.
Ever.
I don't even know if they are one. I don't even know.
Yeah, there's no Tottenham pod.
Yep, and thanks, PG, for the quotes. We love getting those on the post-game show.
Oh, good. I'm not very good at reading out. I'm not professional. So
no, it's all
read.
Good. It's all good. All right, let's go to Xhaka. Xhaka time.
Boom. Right, we should go to Mike first. Let's go to Mike.
Go on, Mike.
Didn't really see a lot pro, and I thought he should have taken that free kick in the first half, in the second half, but when Lacazette hits the post, you can't really argue about that. That kind of seemed like his moment. I'll give him a six. I don't think he really did anything special, and I don't like the guy. So a six is actually better than average, and I'll give it to him.
James, what about you?
Yeah, I'd give him a seven. I'm reading here he completed 97% of his passes, but I'm like, how that happened? It didn't seem like he made that many. And the ones he did make are always his nice little, you know, safe sideways ones. I thought, you know, off the two, he was obviously better than Partey, but I didn't think Xhaka did anything overly brilliant for me.
PG, he reverted a little bit back to sideways, backwards passing in the second half in particular. He was better in the first half, I thought. The first 15 minutes of the second half were fantastic.
I don't think he played that badly, and I'm not Xhaka's fan at all, one bit. So I'm always fair. I actually think he's getting better every game, to be honest. I think playing with the players he's playing with, I was going to give him a 7. Maybe I shouldn't, but I thought he did all right tonight. I'm actually feeling weirdly.
He's done much better.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling weirdly quite confident with him and Partey. I know I shouldn't, because obviously it's a false sense of security, perhaps.
No, they're the best two together.
I liked Elneny and Partey together at the beginning, but then I think Xhaka has just worked really hard. And yes, he does his side to side sometimes, but he's getting better. So for me, a 7.
Yeah. I actually thought he was the better of the two today as well, PG. I thought that he did a decent job. He held, I mean, look, you know, everyone's been raving about, you got Pogba, you've got Fernandes, you've got Scott McTominay, who went off, of course, after a little bit. Did he have the shits? It looked like he had a really dodgy belly.
You know, a friend of mine messaged me that, and I went, what are you talking about? And he's got the shits.
Too much square sausage and tatty scones in the morning, you know. It's not fully Scottish, but he's got heritage. So, yeah, he had too much square sausage and tatty scones.
Listen, everyone's criticising Seth, but I think Seth wants to come over to the red side.
Yeah, I think he does.
So I think we should welcome Seth in.
Yeah, come on, Seth.
One thing I will say about Xhaka as well, very, very hard done by Bruno Fernandes. Biggest, most obvious red card I've seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
Does it not kill you when guys with that kind of talent, like Kane and Son and Fernandes, are just such bitches? On the pitch.
How can you stamp on a man's Achilles and it was VAR reviewed as well.
Well, we're never going to get that.
But James, from our point over here, they didn't even mention it at half time.
No.
They didn't even talk about it. This would have been Xhaka. He'd have been off with a red card.
Oh, he'd been sent off straight away. Totally. Wouldn't even have time.
Yeah, thanks 100%. For bringing that up, you guys, because that's a really important point. If that was on Fernandes, I'm sure that Xhaka would have got a yellow or a red. And yeah, you're right, Clock Orange. We're still eighth, but you know what? We didn't lose. We got a point. Some teams didn't perform this weekend. There's others to play tomorrow, of course. So let's just hang in there, right? It's not over.
Oh my God, Michael.
We're gonna silence.
Michael.
Okay, hold on one second,
Michael.
Yeah, yellow card. Yeah. One more.
That's
sort of a red card.
That is unacceptable.
That is unacceptable. You know this is a professional podcast, right? Right.
I'm not used to being on a professional podcast.
Exactly.
So
neither are we. No.
I thought we were ninth. Are we now eighth?
Because we're eighth at this moment. At this moment, we're eighth.
Listen.
But we're almost done with the season and everyone else still has 10 games left. So.
Okay, listen, how about this guy? Why was he yanked off at halftime, you guys? Do you think it was an injury caution? Do you think it was strategic?
Are we on to him now? Because I want to talk about Martinelli.
Yeah, we're going to start on Martinelli. I want James to go first here.
Go on.
What do you think? I think it might have been subbed. There might have been something wrong fitness-wise, or he doesn't want to keep playing him loads of minutes because he knows... Because Aubameyang went abroad to obviously deal with the family problem, has he got? He's 2 weeks in quarantine, isn't he? When he comes,
yeah,
14 days now over here. I know. Our government have only started implementing it in, so I think he's got a mandatory 14 days. So he probably thinks he's going to be a very useful player to me. So I'll sub him. I thought defensively he was brilliant. The ball that he played to Lacazette in the first half, that Lacazette just quick enough to get to. Was superb as well. And we just got to utilize the minutes because you've seen it. You know, Saka obviously has a bad hip. Emil Smith Rowe, you'll probably touch on him a bit later on, but I thought he burnt out a bit today. I think he just got a bit.
No. We talk about Gabriel.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I'm saying why he was subbed is because you know, the younger players manage the minutes. So, yeah, 7. Martinelli, 7.
Did someone write that Arteta and PG, you'll let us know when you get a quote. They're saying that it was tactical. I'm not sure about that, but we'll find that out for sure. Mike, what do you think on Martinelli?
I'm seeing 5s and 6s. I mean, Martinelli saved our asses in the first half.
That would have been a chewing goal.
You have to factor in the fact that he didn't play at all in the second half, but for the first half, he was a 9.3. I mean, Would Saka have played that kind of defense? I mean, would Pepe, if he was on that side, with Saka on the other side, have played that kind of? He saved our asses constantly in the first half.
He's a hustler.
Every time, my son, and I mean, look, you expect different things out of Martinelli than to be the last man ditch, last ditch tackle, you know, in our own box. But my son and his friend and I were watching the game, and every time I saw somebody come in and make a last minute play, I'm like, you know, who was that? Cedric was that? And they're like, no, it's Gabby. So, Martinelli brings something to the table that I don't think anybody else does. And for the first half, he was a 9.3. For the whole game, I'd still give him an 8.
PG, what do you think? Pramod here, our good friend of the show, saying he thinks Martinelli struggles with Cedric. Well, they haven't played together, remember, guys, and I get the right-footed, but remember KC's also talked about if you can have two right-footed CBs, you can have two left-footed, you just got to be good with your feet. PG, you weren't happy with Martinelli in the first half, but I tweeted you and said,
you don't know what I said before on my tweet, so that's what I'm just going to come to. So, Carl and I were talking about his defensive, and we didn't feel he was very good. I don't think he was very good, and I don't think he's fit. Okay, so I must have been watching a slightly different game. He saved us with the header that nearly took his head off with the foot. Fantastic defense. As we were talking about his defensive display, Carl was, he did that. It was brilliant. But later on, he nearly caused them to nearly score a goal right in front of our penalty box. He messed around with the ball. They took it off him, and I thought they were going to score. So for me, why I did that tweet at halftime, and I should have put the bit in about the fact that he saved us, because he did. It was a brilliant header out of the penalty area. But for me, I don't think he played that well today. It wasn't terrible or anything, but he wasn't great. I don't know why he got subbed at halftime, because Arteta doesn't normally do that. So he's either injured or not fit. Either not fit or it wasn't working for Arteta, because he wouldn't normally do that. So for me, he gets a 7. And I have to be honest, every game I see, whoever I see, I don't just go because I love Martinelli. I think he's got so much prospect with us. But today, I'll give him a 7, and I think that's quite a high mark.
And also, PG, you kind of talked about we got to manage these younger players, we got to take care. So we got to trust Arteta that whatever he did at halftime is for the best interest, not only for the team, but of course of the player.
And I'd also say as well, you've got to manage the younger players, but every player still needs to be managed differently. For me, it don't look like you've got to manage Saka at all. Every game he'd play. But obviously, a little bit more with Martinelli. And Smith Rowe, I feel, is in between those two. He could just play every game. But I feel that Martinelli needs to be managed a little bit more because of his injuries.
Right.
You know, serious injury he had. So, and I love him. And I don't want anyone
that's
to think
probably,
I think,
that's hopefully why he came off at the half today.
Yeah. They're just being careful. And I love that. I love that about Arteta. I really do.
Okay, just because I don't have an individual picture of Smith Rowe, I'm going to have to fix that. He is on the right-hand side here, you guys.
Look at those three youngsters, man.
It's so hot. When you see that, it's just so hot.
Those three guys added up together the same age.
Just want to put them under my Christmas tree. What do we think about Emile Smith Rowe, you guys? James, I'm going to start off with you. I personally didn't think it was one of his better games, but he was efficient when he needed to be, but he wasn't as dazzling as we've seen him. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I feel harsh giving him only a 6, but I just felt he was a bit leggy. But what I will say is the recoveries that he made were really, really good. I thought he did really, really well at recovering the ball when the other people had lost it. So fair play to him on that. But yeah, he just got a bit tired. Like I said a minute ago, we've got to, you know, manage the minutes better. And I thought we took too long to bring Martin on.
I thought, it was
about 72, 73 minutes. I could see, I'm like, just hook Smith Rowe off. Not disrespectfully, because I love the player. I think he's an amazing player. But I was just like, mate, he's knackered. Just take him off.
So PG will attest to this. I've been telling him to pull his socks up, and he did today. But did it hurt his game? Genuine question. He didn't play the same.
I didn't think he played that bad, James. I would give him a 7.5 today. I think sometimes it's probably better for him not to play with Saka, weirdly, because it will give him more confidence that it's not Saka leading the way of the youngsters, if you know what I mean. I thought he was all right, actually.
Him and Saka's telepathy is unbelievable. They know what they're going to do before they go and do it. So
they know what them two know what they're going to do. None of them know what he's going to do. You know,
exactly.
They're fantastic, but I wouldn't say low. I would give Emile Smith Rowe a 7 tonight.
I agree with Matthew too. He looked a little bit tired today as the game wore on. Not that he, you know, he did Shady. He ran his socks out.
Yeah, that's what I thought. A little bit tired.
Definitely mixed bag. Mike, what's your
Smith Rowe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 6 3/4 because I mean he probably needs a rest. And guess
Man
what?
Scores.
I can't just give, you know, round numbers. He probably needs a bit of a break. And guess what? We got him one now. Let's go with that. I fully back him to be putting 8 or 9 performances, you know, 8 or 9 rated performances out on a regular basis if he if he isn't having to play 100 minutes every week.
Right.
On most of both games.
Okay, cool. PG, you got some more quotes from the gaffer. What is he saying?
Okay. Sorry. Right, Arteta, it was a big battle. Both teams wanted to win. Very competitive. They had some moments in the first half. We had the biggest moments in the second half. To win, you need to score. When you get the big chances we had, Willian for Martinelli was tactical. Interesting. Arteta thought that Willian could do something better when he came on. He did. He wanted us to be more aggressive and forceful, and Willian gave us that. We won the ball higher up the pitch, so it was nothing to do with Gabby's work effort today, just tactical. We did well without the missing players today. The team really did turn up. They showed how much their desire to win. We were missing 3 really big players today. Very true. A good performance from the boys. And that's what I
said.
Does
anyone think that William was awful when he came on?
No, but we'll talk about him in a second.
Why don't we stick with him for a second and we'll roll on with you, Mike, on this one because it... Wait. Let's do the starting 11. We'll get back to Willian. Okay. Yeah. So we're on now. We did Martinelli. Who do we need to do next? How about Lacazette? Not his best game, but at the same time, didn't feel like he got to, I don't know. He wasn't in the right positions today, James, for me, Lacazette. He was a little bit off positionally, but still what he does off the ball is so valuable to this team.
Yeah. And the young players work great with him. And when they do their interviews, they all speak about how much of an influence that he is. So he got a 7 for me. Obviously, if that free kick goes in, he gets higher. But he had our best chance and he works really hard. You know, we always say about how hard he works. You know, the guy works his socks off, doesn't he, for us, especially when he leads the line on his own. So, yeah, he gets a 7. It was one of them, you know, like we've been talking about the whole way through. To not lose was massive, but no, nobody did anything to win. You know, nobody really asserted themselves and went for it. It was just sort of towards the end, it was like, right, this is going to be a draw, isn't it? So let's just shore everything up and just keep it calm.
What about you, Mike? Lacazette?
Lacazette does something that no one else on our club does. And it's important to have him in there. Now, you know, whether if he scores from it, then everyone's calling him a 9 or a 10. Didn't happen today, but I mean, he's not replaceable directly with anyone else. He's not exchangeable with anyone else in our squad. Nketiah, Aubameyang, no one. I mean, the only person he could potentially be replaceable from is Balogun, but we haven't really seen enough of Balogun. So I'll give him a 7.3 because I think he played fine today. I think he had a couple of situations where we could have had an opportunity, but it wasn't his best game in the last run, but he wasn't the reason that we didn't score.
Yeah, and I think PG, the real captain, makes a good point. Like I said earlier, we hardly played any balls to Laka's feet today. But
I always say
he's our Bobby Firmino, and what he does off the ball and allows other players to do is really insane. What's your rating for Laka?
I'm giving Laka a 7 tonight. He did work really hard. He always does. That's the one thing, his work rate, you cannot ever. I give him an extra point just for the work rate because to me it was a sort of a 6 performance but 7 because of the work rate. I was going to say what the real captain said. Did he get any service? Because he can't do much if he doesn't get any service. And I find it really hard to criticise someone that works for 93 minutes the way he does. And he's not like a headless chicken, as we say over here. He is a pivotal part of our team. I think that's the right word. Yeah, it gets a 7 for me. I wish they all worked like him, honestly. I think he's a very, very good example to the youngsters.
Excellent.
Completely agree with that. All right, let's move on to this guy. Could have had what, 2-3 goals today? James, I'm going to go back to you. I keep saying this guy, when is he going to deliver? When is he going to deliver? And I do like the progress he's made in the last two games. We've seen a little bit more of him, a little bit of more composure on the ball, but that final ball sometimes, or that final finishing, still isn't there. But he's definitely playing with a little bit more confidence. What are your thoughts on Nicola Pepe?
Yeah, he gets an 8. I thought that this is the thing with him. When you keep playing him and you let him have a run, he will deliver. When you keep taking him in and out, in and out, in and out, and the fact that after he played his best game for the club, which was the cup final, and we went and bought Willian on a free to come in his position, his confidence went shoom, sky down. So now that he's getting a chance to come back in, he won the most fouls today, he had the most shots today, and he created the most chances. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that got all the main numbers in terms of attacking. So yeah, for me, it also with Aubameyang still out, if you're not going to play Martinelli left and Saka comes back, then Pepe goes back on the left-hand side for me. You don't start Martinelli. I agree with what was said earlier. I think Martinelli will probably be better coming off the bench. People are tired and he can just run at them. But yeah, no, just keep Pepe in. He will deliver if you do not take him out. Keep him
in. I agree.
He'll
perform. I agree, PG, with what JJ's saying here, is that keep him in now. Let him play. Let him keep playing, because we've always complained, like, we've seen the best of him. He's not really been allowed to have that consistency. And I think now, with some of these injuries, with people tiring at this time of the season, stay faithful to him, because he was top three, one of our top three players today.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm with James 100% on everything he said. But one of the other things that's quite important is we've got to play him on the left. He's so much better on the left. And the consistency is the key. You keep Pepe in, you're going to see what he can deliver. That's how I see it. And I've said it all along. You cannot keep taking him out, then on the bench, not in the squad. I want him just to play. And let's see what he can give us. I don't know if he's going to be worth 72 million. I've always championed him. And I think that we just got to give him time. The problem is they don't get time anymore here. So time, consistency, play him on the left. I'm giving Pepe an 8 today.
Yeah, and also, Mike, I think this is a really good comment. And well done, everyone, your comments on Pepe. I think they're super fair. A lot of the times it's easy to just say people are crap when you really have to look at the game and the performance that they've put in. And this, to me, is the most significant of all the comments. He seemed interested today and in the last game. Like, he really wanted to show Arteta what he could do.
Do you know what, Soph?
You don't do 10 stepovers if you're not interested in the game. I mean,
you're not
capable of doing that.
Do you know what it is, all of you? He needs that. He needs that confident manager to give him a cuddle and go to him. You're worth it. He's one of those that needs building up. You know, someone like Aubameyang probably doesn't need it, right? He does. So how he'll get his confidence is if Arteta keeps playing him. He's a confidence player. And do you know what? He's got such great skill. He was that close from scoring today. That close. You know what? Gum.
But I'm sorry, Amanda, but if he's playing, and I'm just saying this, this isn't against him. If he's playing, then Saka, Martinelli, Aubameyang, one of those guys isn't. Two of those guys aren't.
You need to have a squad. We are playing every 3 days.
Absolutely.
Okay? I haven't got a problem that if Saka needs that rest, I don't want to play Saka and give him a worse injury.
I agree with you. I all I'm saying is
he's improving.
Is,
don't take him out now. It'll actually ruin him.
What did I say before the game, Soph? We did think he'd be playing on the left today.
Yeah.
And we were wrong about that. Mm. But I'm all for letting him find his confidence. I've wanted him to find his confidence for a while. I'm worried about the fact that you know, if he continues to play it's going to keep some other guys out of the lineup. But I think he was a 7.8 today. This isn't a negative comment about him. Maybe it seems a little bit manic, but like I thought he played very, very well today. It's just we all of a sudden have very crowded wings.
But Mike, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. No,
because Pepe is going to play better against some teams than Martinelli will, and vice versa. And Saka will. Look, Saka is obviously we see his first name on the team sheet at the moment, don't we? But for anyone else, no. But for me, you've got to keep Pepe in. We've got to see what he can give us. You cannot keep taking him out. It's not going to work. He's not that sort of player.
I'm not disagreeing
Lacazette,
with you.
Because Lacazette keeps coming back hungry, but Pepe's that sort of kid that needs the cuddle.
He's a modern-day player who needs to be mollycoddled by his manager. He's like,
mollycoddled.
He's a baby. He's an immature 25-year-old. He needs a cuddle.
I don't see it like that.
He does. Look at Saka. Boy, does it need. You could shovel snow in his face, Saka, and tear in his face. They're different. They're built differently. Pepe's a little weak sauce in the brain, and he's getting stronger now.
Shady's comment is perfect. Where do you fall on that? I mean, if it were between the two today, we thought today would be between these two,
yes,
and it wasn't. Put Shady's comment back on there. It was excellent.
But we need a squad.
We thought it would be that, but it wasn't.
Because they can't play every game. And my point is this, Saka came through our academy. He's an English boy. Pepe's come from France, from a league that's not as good as ours. You can't compare them.
Who's your first choice when you want to put a front four out there? And let's just assume Smith Rowe or Odegaard is the 10. You can't have Pepe and Martinelli out there at the same time if Saka's healthy. So who's your
first? You can't have Martinelli and Ober out there at the same time, depending if everyone's fit.
I'm not arguing to get rid of the guy. I'm just saying like, and this is may not be the best conversation to have after the game today, but I'm just saying I love the performance that Pepe's put out in the last two games. But if Martinelli is fit, I'd rather have him playing on the opposite wing of Saka than Pepe. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's all fair enough.
All right.
And also good Shabbos.
Yeah. Okay, so let's...
not for me, it isn't.
Listen to the dialogue. And thank you to the almost 400 people in chat who are joining us after the game. We really appreciate it on your Saturday, spending time with us here at the Highbury squad. We wanted to win this game. We got close. We had our chances. We didn't take them. In the end, taking a point against a Manchester United team at any time in the season is a good thing. We've taken four of them this season, guys. 4 points off United. It's not too bad. And Amanda, I think, listen to what we're talking about between us, and we're all trying to jump in and have our say, because we actually now feel like we've got players who can compete against each other.
Right? This is a wonderful thing to have. Yeah. You know, where we go, well, should we have him or him? And they're just as good. I understand about Martinelli. Let's manage him a little bit. While we're doing okay, let's manage him.
Okay, cool. Is that did I miss anyone, James, from the first 11 on our ratings? I think that's everyone, right? Okay, let's get to one of them. We're going to get to the subs now, but let's get to the most polarizing Arsenal player since, I don't know, Mesut Ozil maybe, I don't know. This guy. Let's be fair, everyone, all right? He's been absolute garbage since Fulham. He's offered nothing. He's shown nothing. No zest, no fight. But now look, on the bench now, comes on in the second half today, and I'm not lauding the guy whatsoever, but PG, I saw a little bit more effort, and maybe that has something to do with the competition and him wanting to try and prove himself. Not saying he was brilliant, but he got stuck in.
Right. I saw a really interesting quote from a football magazine on Twitter, nothing to do with Arsenal, saying Willian can't please the Arsenal fans, even if we won tonight. What I will say about Willian, right, his effort was brilliant. He was everywhere. I will give him that. But every time he passed the ball, he lost it. He gave it to a United player. But his energy was there and he did help us. I didn't think he had a bad, when he came on, I don't think he played badly. Just kept giving the ball away. So I don't know what you want me to say, to be honest.
We want you to say your feelings, Amanda.
Give him a rating.
Feelings.
Give him a rating.
Willian?
Yeah.
Was he all up in your feels?
He worked hard. Look,
I will say, He did work his nuts off, but he kept giving the ball away. Every minute we went, oh, Willian's done brilliant. He's giving the ball away.
He's not good, but at least
I will do this. Hold on. For effort, I'll give him an 8. For effort, I'll give him an 8. For skill and passing ability, I'll give him a 6.5.
Say he cost us the game, Darren. Again, who stole the jam out of your donuts?
He cost us the win.
Barrels. That's ridiculous. Come on. Let's get real. He did not cost us the game today. James. Here,
because he took that shot that bounced off of going goalwards.
Ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's not fair. James, go on, mate. Your turn.
6. He gets a 6.
Did you say 6 or 6? Sorry.
6. No, he was better than how he normally plays, but at the end of the day, he's still Willian, isn't he?
Was it a sitter though, James? Was it a sitter? I know beginning
it was. Yeah, it was. It was a good block.
Are we not giving Juan Bissaka any credit for that?
Yeah. Oh no. But
yeah, he was great. Right.
He had time to take a touch and hit it. He should do better. You got to be doing better. If that's Eddie and Nketiah in that position, then Twitter explodes.
He doesn't miss that.
Absolutely. And you know what, Darren? It's not about supporting Deadwood. He's been rubbish, but we're looking at game by game. This is what we do. We analyze each game. We're here to look at the game that we saw. And he's been absolutely garbage and a total waste of money. To be fair to him, he did better today. He showed a little bit of energy and he showed that he cared just a smidgen. Go on, Mike.
It was his
Would you rather have a point blank chance that's missed because of a shot to Rosed or a miss hit or a shot right at the goalkeeper? Or would you rather have one that's only defended and was going to go into the goal if not for a lunging tackle from a defender? For me, if I've got to address a point blank shot that didn't end up in the back of the net, I'd rather at least know that the defender made a great play on it than the our player, you know, screwed up the chance. So Willian not scoring there fits the narrative, but Juan Bissaka dove in and made a great save in the same way that in the first half, Rashford had was 5 feet from the pitch or from the goal with one-on-one against Leno and Martinelli came in and basically put him off long enough. So, you know, I don't hold that against Willian. It's an easy narrative, but, you know, maybe someone else would have toe-poked it or gotten it in quicker.
I think this is a little bit about what Amanda said. It doesn't matter what he does. He will never please Arsenal fans.
I can't stand the dude. But I can tell you that if Martinelli got an 8 for having a first half that was otherworldly, Willian deserves a 7.5 for his second half.
Mike, he's been drinking all the kiddish wine and some.
It's that's funny. Where is it?
Game since Man United away.
James.
Fulham on his debut, and obviously he used to play for them lot, so it was it's a bit of a historic game for him, so he performed there. And then Man United away, he had the shot that hit the bar and he slid the ball into Bellerin that Bellerin won the penalty from. They've been his two best. This was his third best game. But like I said a minute ago, he's at the end of the day still Willian, isn't he?
But
I'm not clamoring for him to start the next game.
Hold on one second. Going to PG. And look, Pepe missed chances too. And also, you could argue that Man United, right at the death, was it Cavani who missed that chance that went wide?
Yeah,
they could have won it right at the death. He missed it. It's Cavani's shit as well. Let's be fair.
We're here post-game to talk about who played well and who didn't on the game. Regardless of how they've been, that's what we discuss. Willian played better tonight than I've seen him in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, but he still did give the ball away, okay? So his enthusiasm, he tried his best. He tried his hardest. He was better, I will say that. But it galls me to think how much he gets paid and what contract he's on. That's what upsets me. But we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about that. So we move on from Willian.
Let's move on from this. But also, being sent away from 3 free kicks, James, I thought that was interesting too. I did think the Cedric one, they should have just let him take it just to see what would have happened. And we had several different free kick takers, PG and James, tonight. Not sure I like that as much as having someone you know, that, what does that tell you about practice? Are they all taking them? Are they all trying, James? What do you think?
The Cedric one, I couldn't believe he took the shot because he's Whippy Delish, isn't he? He's Mr. Whippy Delish with the crosses. So I thought, oh, maybe he's going to try and cross it here. And he went for the shot and it went over.
Okay. Amanda, you got some more comments from the gaffer?
Okay, so it's quite interesting. It's Arteta on Aubameyang. I don't think I've missed anything else out. We have to follow the rules and the protocols right now. And the protocols say he cannot be involved at the moment. He had a family issue he had to attend. And these are the consequences to that. Arteta on... Sorry, there was something else. On Smith Rowe, I think he played a really good game. When he got involved, I think he made a real difference. Defensively, he's working so hard as well. He had a really strong performance. Arteta on outgoings. There are some conversations that are going on. They want to improve their situation and we need to help some of them. Mustafi. I don't know whether that's going to be the case or not. Arteta on renewed belief. We are moving in the right direction. All the players are willing to contribute to the project we have in place and they seem excited. On how long Aubameyang will be out for, I don't know. We are working with the Premier League and the government about it. He's been looking after his family and now he's in quarantine, which was obvious. Yeah. On missing players, the fact that we had three of our best players out probably has an impact, but I'm really happy with the players who played today. On why Aubameyang is quarantining is because he had a family issue and he had to attend, and these are the consequences at the moment. But what I will say, you can tell in those words how they're not disappointed, which is fantastic, you know, where they tried their best to try and get that goal, try to get the 3 points, another clean sheet, and a draw against United at home isn't bad. This is a season where we have been diabolical and we're on this little run now, this little run of we haven't lost for, what, seven games? We've had a couple of nil-nils and I'm all right with it. 15
more to beat Emery's record, PG. 15 more.
Oh, God. I won't cope. But, you know, and we're just, we're not brilliant. We know that. But it's fragile and the fragility, oh, I like that word, fragility, is starting to gel and not be so fragile. So now we're going for it. And as Arteta said, they're excited.
Yes. And also, exactly, two clean sheets against the media darlings. And the other thing, you guys, and I agree, I thought Arteta, this is one of my favorite press conferences in terms of comments that I've heard. He's being very diplomatic, but at the same time, he's trying to be as authentic as he can be in terms of answering the questions pertaining to Aubameyang, Martinelli going off at halftime. Think about the questions and what he's having to deal with as well in this time and with the injuries that we have, especially to super popular players like Tierney and Saka when they're not appearing. You know, he has to answer to that. And I thought that he did pretty well these days, even though sometimes I think he sounds like an android and looks like an alien from
a space. It's so hard to do that, though, when you're losing. I mean, like we're on a good streak right now. Arteta's so relaxed now, I think, in these press conferences, because I mean, he's not having to excuse anything. He's just having to explain things.
Listen, here's the scoop. We were on our knees at the beginning of the season. We were all thinking we're in a relegation fight. There's no Arsenal fan out there that didn't think that we were in really bloody big trouble. Now here we find ourselves, a few points off a European spot in the Premier League. We're still in the Europa League. Yes, we're out of the FA Cup. But at the same time, we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. We're shit and we're in relegation. Everyone wants to moan. We've gone seven unbeaten and everyone wants to moan. I mean, at least we're making progress. As an Arsenal fan, even whether you bitched about Arteta or not, wanted him out or not, or just wanted him to see Amanda put in the younger players and stuff, he's made some changes and it's affected the team and we're moving in a positive direction. No one's saying we're going to beat the universe or get into the top four, but to go on an unbeaten run like this, it builds the confidence and that's all we were asking for, right?
Of course, and absolutely. And what's good about what I'm seeing in the chat and what you're putting up is that people are upset. That's great. Because we would have been absolutely over the moon with a point, wouldn't we, 3 weeks ago? We would have been like, oh my God, we've got a draw. Now we're disappointed because we wanted to win it. So that's a nice little bit of confidence as well that, you know, we all want the same thing. We want us to win the treble, the quadruple. We just want everything good for Arsenal.
Winning the treble. We've won the treble.
When have we won the treble, darling?
This year we're going to win it.
Okay. Carry on drinking and go and have some chicken soup and chopped liver.
Okay, here we go. Let's go to this guy. He really wasn't given a chance to come on and shine, was he? He didn't get the time. And look, you can't expect miracles in his first game. James, from what you saw, a smidgen, a slice, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I can't really give him a number because, like I said earlier, I don't think he had enough time.
No.
I think he was brought on, you know, about 8 to 10 minutes later than he should have been. So I can't really give him any time. I'm happy he's here and hopefully get to see more of him against Wolves.
James, would it shock you to see him start against Wolves?
No, it wouldn't. No. if he started against Wolves, no, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Nah, me neither.
Yeah. While we have Odegaard up here, I don't want to miss this comment because I really want you to answer.
Not a bad-looking kid. James.
Yeah, he's a good-looking kid.
Martin.
Kind of hot.
Martin. PG, I wanted to call him Mo, and KC wasn't having it because he's got the same initials as Mesut Ozil, so he didn't let me do that. Just so you know, we can't call him Mo. But, no. James, I wanted you to answer this while it's on screen, and we'll continue. I know I'm bouncing off left, but I didn't want to lose this. Playing a back four consistently is a sure sign our defence is confident. Do you agree with that, James?
100%. 100%. It's the second best in the league, isn't it? Next to Man City's defence. So, yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it's... He wanted to play a back four from the start, from when he come in, but they weren't good enough. So he had to go to a five. And then when we were playing the five, it did really well. And arguably, it won us the FA Cup playing the five. Yeah. But now that he's been there, what, a year and everything else, he wants to instill what he really wanted. He's gone to the back four again. Parties come in there to help shore up that back four. You've got players like Emile Smith Rowe that are making recoveries as well, even his career. And then when you've got three in there that can press, and okay, you had Martinelli and Lacazette and Pepe pressing in the first half not to the best, but they were going for it. You're defending from the front as well as from the back. So it's all just sort of somewhat slowly clicking together. I believe the table doesn't lie and we are where we should be, but there's just marginal things that are going a bit better. It's just slow progress. I know we live in an instantaneous society where, you know, if I want to listen to a song, I click my fingers and I can put it on right away. If I want to watch a film, I can put it on right away. Football's not the same. And I've had to learn that. I want to be top of the league and win everything, but it's not going to happen. It takes time. So...
Yeah,
you know, it's slowly coming. It's slowly coming together.
Okay, cool. In a 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to come back to you and we'll do a show on that because I want to focus on it just a little bit more. PG, going back to Odegaard. Go on, say it. I want to hear you say it.
It's Odegaard. That's what he told me, the Norwegian. Odegaard. I've said it straight away, right? I can't believe it. I still can't say did. Uber right.
What do you think? I mean, I think you can't say anything.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see him start. He's obviously got a bit of confidence. That's what I like. But you know what? You know, it's tough. We play on 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. I mean, what break are they even getting to rest? They've got to get to Wolves. And so this is why the squad is really important. I can't call who he's going to play on Tuesday night. Then we've got Aston Villa, who are going great guns, 12:30 on Saturday. We are shite at 12:30. I hate those kickoffs for us.
Well, Villa's come off a horrible loss, but they play again. Do they play again tomorrow? I think.
Do you know what?
Playing now, aren't they?
They're playing right now.
Who's playing? Yeah, Southampton. Yeah, okay. Southampton, they're playing. But you know what? You can't call any game. Who would have thought Sheffield United would have beaten United? Seriously, you can't call anything at the moment.
Well,
you
really can't. Wolves lost right before we played today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Wolves are in real trouble.
But we have to go there on Tuesday night. We need to get the 3 points. I want to have St. Tottenham's Day this year. I can't say it, but I haven't had St. Tottenham's Day for a few years, and I want that because 2020 has been utter fucking shit, isn't it? I will need 2021 to be slightly better, please.
Well, if we can keep it tight, we've got another North London derby. We've got another North London derby coming. So it's possible. It's possible. And Villa have 3 games in hand on us. They've lost one. It'd be great if they could lose this one. Some of our results today went for us, you guys. Everton losing to Newcastle. Who saw that coming as well? Terrible result for the Toffees.
Everton is going to come back to normal. I mean, I was craving a bet with anyone who would tell me that we would go below who's Everton's manager?
Ancelotti.
I was looking to bet people, and for a while I was glad no one took me up on it. But right now I'm looking for people again because we're about 2 points behind them, I think.
Yep.
At the point.
Yep, but they've got a game in hand, haven't they?
I don't care about that.
Whatever.
Oy, all buddy. Right. Well, listen, did I miss anyone? No more subs. How about Arteta? What's our final rating in a nutshell? We've got 2-3 minutes left here. You're listening to the Highbury squad. Thank you so much to everyone from all corners of the earth who have joined us tonight for the post-game Arsenal versus Manchester United show. We, the Highbury squad, so appreciate it. And we also appreciate our boy here, Mr. James Johnston, being with us, and Mike from the Gooners pod as well. At the end of the show, they can tell you where they can find them. Amanda, I'm going to start with you. Mikel, what rating do you give the gaffer this evening?
8. You know how much I love him. I really do.
And you're just giving him an 8?
I just give him an 8. I think he tried something different with Martinelli coming off and Willian. He really truly believes Willian is going to...
He scored for fuck.
Oh, anyway. He really truly believes that Willian, he's got that. He's what's that word? He's trying to trump. Oh, I can't think of the word. He wants to give Willian, he's really behind. He's in Willian's corner. I can't even say it.
Champion. Does he want a champion here?
This is what happens when you turn 51. You get brain fog.
Who's doing the drinking? Champion.
Champion. Yeah, he's champion. Yeah. He's in his corner. He really wants it to work for him. No one else can believe that it will. No one. I don't know anyone that
it's actually like when you're going out with someone and your mum just loves the guy and you just don't, and she really wants it to work, and you're like, mum, it's just never going to happen.
It's not going to work. So I'll give him an 8 because he tried that, didn't he, with Willian and Martinelli. He's not, what I like about him, he's not scared to make subs. And to me, he looks like he knows what he's doing. I never felt like, well, I didn't feel like that with Emery in the end. So anyway.
Yes. All right. Mike, what about you, Arteta?
8.7. I mean, if you assume that there was a very good reason for bringing Willian on for Martinelli, then 8. I mean, that seemed a bit weird at the time, but it worked out. So
awesome.
I'm backing him. I'm backing him right now.
I've got some more quotes from Arteta. Do you want them?
Oh, he's not. Is it what? Is he having verbal diarrhea?
Did he say anything about me?
We really, really need to thank Carl. He doesn't stop typing all night. Bless Carl. He's doing all this for us.
Is there anything major?
Arteta on outgoing transfers. Where there are some conversations at the moment going on, I spoke with all of the players about their own situation because they're all aware of the minutes that they are playing and they want to improve their situation. I'm willing to help them. Some of them, the club is willing to help them, and we will try to find a solution at the end. But I don't know whether it's going to be the case or not. And this is the last one. Arteta on ambitions for the season. Well, I don't know, but we're going to give it a real go. I think the team is in really good form at the moment. I think we are moving in the right direction. So when that's the case, I'll have to push them inch by inch and make them believe that we really can finish the season in a strong way. And that's what I mean about championing Willian. He champions the whole team like that. And the rest of the quotes I can't read because Carl's trying to be funny.
Can I say something? Like, this is not meant to be anything about language or country or anything like that, but like the Wenger was the same way. He's a little bit Unai Emery was the same way. The comments after the game, the fact that you don't speak English as your first language almost gives you a license to like kind of talk in circles a little bit. Like, have you ever thought that like if we had just an English speaking manager for once ever since, I guess, who was it? Bruce Rioch was our last English speaking manager, that he wouldn't be able to kind of dodge and artistically answer these questions. Or am I completely just thinking the wrong thing here? Because I mean, they're very like artsy questions and answers, and a lot of times it's almost like a crutch that they don't speak the language.
I don't know if that's fair. I mean, look, Bielsa doesn't speak any English, and as a translator and manages Leeds United and gets away with it. I don't know why people gave Emery a hard time when he made the effort to speak English. Even Pochettino didn't speak a lick of it. Came to Spurs,
I'm not criticizing them. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, like, sometimes a direct question is answered, and the answer isn't what you would expect it to be, and I think it probably favors somebody in that situation. And you know, it's the art of communication.
I couldn't answer a freaking question in Spain if I did a press conference. I think sometimes we have to be a little bit understanding that, you know, these managers are dealing with a lot day in, day out, and they're being fired questions every single day. They've got to come off training, do press conferences, talk. They get paid a lot of money for it, guaranteed. But I just think that sometimes, especially with these, you know, green managers who come into it, we need to just give them a little bit of a break. Okay. And someone just says, keep drinking, Mike, which is a really good idea.
No.
Let me get James's Arteta rating and then we're out of here.
Yes, 7 from me. Good. He's dyed the greys that were in his hair. He was starting to look like old Captain Black from the Mr. Ron a couple of weeks ago with that grey. Little grey fades in there, and the beard, he shaved it down. His coat was nice, his trousers were nice, and yeah, he got a relatively good result for me, so I can't complain. 7.
All right, fantastic. And yes, have you heard the Sam Allardyce press conference? Just saying, speakers can lie too. Right, that is it. What an epic post-game show. Not the result that we dreamed of, but a good result nonetheless. We got a point at home against a very good away Manchester United team who had all of their top guns playing today as well. We were missing 3 of our best, and still, I think the team did a decent job. Could we have finished our chances? Yes. Leno, once again, well done, son. You've overcome that Emi Martinez crap really well and saved us in the last few games. I just want to give out another shout out to our sponsor, Football Prizes. Make sure you go to footballprizes.co.uk. Check them out. There's a 1971 jersey going right now. You just put in a few bucks and you could find yourself a winner. They only do 99 tickets, so you'll be able to have a good chance of winning that. Next week on our show, we're going to be giving away a free ticket. So make sure you're listening to the Highbury Squad Monday through Friday for your chance to win a signed shirt from the 1971 double winners who celebrate their 50th anniversary this year. And just know that we'll be doing some really special stuff on the Highbury Squad, honouring that incredible team, Amanda, who we love very much. Right. That's it. Everyone in chat, you smashed it. Some fantastic comments. Absolutely brilliant. And yes, Pramod, you can do it from India. You can do it from anywhere in the world. Absolutely. So, yeah, get stuck in. And the ref. Oh, you want to give us a mark for the ref? How about a 0 all the time for the referee? There, I did it for everybody.
Do you know what? He didn't give him a penalty, though, did he? And that's probably a first for a United.
And you know, Bruno Fernandes, he can trip over a wireless controller, that guy.
I'm tired.
We're going to be back on Monday night. Super Kevin Campbell will be back Monday. Amanda, you'll be back Tuesday for Wolves post game. We'll see. We'll give you the schedule on Monday when everyone's going to be around. Obviously, we've got Kevin Says segment. We've got some post game stuff, and we've got some really other exciting bits and bobs to come to you. Until then, everybody. You know what to say. Why don't all 3 of you say it at the same time?
No, I want them 2 to say it.
Well, he said it this morning and it was hilarious.
I haven't heard it yet. Before you 2 say it, thanks for coming on, both of you. It's been fantastic.
Oh, shit. Tell us where you can find. Yes, Amanda, well done. How can we find them? Yeah.
Right, James, where can we find you?
Yeah, LL Cool James 91 on Twitter. James Johnston Football on YouTube. If I can leech some of your subs, I'll take it. And Purely Arsenal FP on YouTube as well. Leave some of the subs onto there.
All follow James. He's brilliant.
James. We're going to do some tactical stuff with you in the next week. That's going to be absolutely awesome. Okay. They're going to love it. They're going to absolutely love it.
Yes, ladies, Michael, it's your turn.
Ladies love Cool James.
That's the
one. When I lived in London, all I listened to was LL Cool J. So I'm a big fan of this guy. Follow us on the Gooners Pod Tuesday night after the game. After the Wolves game, we are going to have Lee Dixon on with us talking about the game.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, so look, we don't know shit about football, but he does. So you're going to want to watch that.
So where can they find you at the Gooners Podcast? Yeah.
At the Gooners Pod on Twitter. You can go on the web. You can go to goonersubscribe.com and subscribe to our podcast. And, and you can watch me eat for the next few years.
Love it. Perfect. No. Now,
it's coming, the real captain.
They want to hear it.
They do.
Who is Arsenal?
I can't beat that. That was a pretty good impression.
Go on, James, your turn.
Your turn.
I'll say always Arsenal.
I can't do it. Don't say it like
Willian. Say it like Aubameyang last season.
I lay in bed every night listening, thinking.
No, Mike. Wasn't asked. James. Who do you lay in bed? You saying you lay in bed listening to James? Now this has gone way off.
We need to go before Michael is drinking anymore.
Go on, Amanda.
Right.
Happy good Shabbat.
Shabbat is out. Because we're in England, Michael. Just carry on drinking. Good Jonta, whatever you want me to say. Right, listen. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please press the like. We really need the likes to grow. So thank you so much. Thanks to Sophie for another brilliant, oh, I don't know which way it is, brilliant podcast, brilliant host that way. I always go the wrong way. Thanks, you two, for coming on. It's been brilliant. And thanks for joining us in the chat room. Always Arsenal.